This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Everyone's life is driven by something, and that is what we've been looking at over the last month. And today we are looking at this question: what drives your life? Most dictionaries define the verb drive as to guide or to control or to direct. Whether you are driving a car, a nail or a golf ball, you are guiding, controlling and directing it at that moment. What is a driving force in your life? Right now you may be driven by a problem, a pressure or a deadline. You may be driven by a painful memory, a haunting fear or an unconscious belief. There are hundreds of circumstances, values and emotions that can drive your life. And here are five of the most common ones. Last month, we did look at thinking about our purposes, and we eventually came up with the idea that it all starts with God, and that it was no sense trying to ask ourselves, what am I here for? And then trying to give our own answer. What we needed to do, we needed to come and find out God's answer for our lives. And so let's look at this question today from that point of view. How do we come and find out what God's plan is for our life? And today, we would be looking at the way that you see that your life shapes your life. So the question is, what is your life? The way you see your life shapes your life. How you define life determines your destiny, and your perspective will influence how you invest your time, spend your money, and use your talents and value your relationships. One of the best ways to understand other people is to ask them, how do you see your life? And you will discover that there are as many different answers to that question as there are people. And Warren says these words. He says, you will discover that there are as many answers to that question as there are people. And I've been told life is a circus, a minefield, a roller coaster, a puzzle, a symphony, a journey and a dance. People have said life is a symphony, a journey and a dance. And people have even said life is a carousel. But God has a plan for your life. And also, to get to know God's plan, we need to be able to find out how to do that. Life really is a temporary assignment, and God wants us to be able to find that assignment. Now, the Bible is full of metaphors that teach about the brief, a temporary, transient nature of life on earth. Life is described as a mist, a fast runner, a breath, and a wisp of smoke. And the Bible says, for we were born but yesterday, and our days on earth are as transient as a shadow. To make the best use of your life, you must never forget two truths. First, compared with eternity, life is extremely brief. And secondly, earth is only a temporary residence. You won't be here long, so don't get too attached to it. Ask God to help you see life on earth as he sees it. And David prayed, Lord, help me to realize how brief my time on earth will be. Help me to know that I'm here for but a moment more. And repeatedly, the Bible compares life on earth to temporarily living in a foreign country. But this is not your permanent home or final destination. You are just passing through. just visiting Earth. And the Bible uses terms like alien, pilgrim, foreigner, stranger, visitor, and traveller to describe our brief stay on earth. And David said, I am but a foreigner here on earth. And Peter explained, if you call God your Father, live your time as temporary residents on earth. In all this, just as we saw last month, we saw that God's purpose doesn't just, it starts here on earth, but we need to try and see how we can come to know God's purpose for our life. And it's not, as we mentioned earlier, trying to ask questions like, what do I want to do? Or how can I learn what I need to do on this earth? You see, we've got to ask God. We've got to come to him and ask him, what does he want us to do on this earth? And then, bit by bit, God will start to show us. But let's see it also from the background that life is a temporary assignment, even as we've mentioned. You see, God says his children are to think differently about life from the way believers do. And believers, of course, are believing that one day that they too will be able to go to heaven. Last week we mentioned that to please God and to find out his purposes for your life, that you needed to put your trust in him, that you also needed to receive that wonderful gift of forgiveness, but the other one as well, that gift of eternal life, because that is a wonderful gift that God gives to us through Jesus, because he died for you and he wiped your sin away. So we need to realize this, that we are citizens of heaven and yet we are living on this earth. Now the Bible says you are cheating on God if all you want to do is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God this way. So imagine if you were asked by your country to be an ambassador to an enemy nation. You would probably have to learn a new language and adapt to some customs and cultural differences in order to be polite and to accomplish your mission. As an ambassador, you would not be able to isolate yourself from the enemy. To fulfill your mission, you would have to have contact and relate to them. But suppose you became so comfortable with this foreign country that you fell in love with it, preferring it to your homeland. Your loyalty and commitment would change. Your role as an ambassador would be compromised. Instead of representing your home country, you would start acting like the enemy. You would be a traitor. And the Bible says we are Christ's ambassadors. Sadly, many Christians have betrayed their king and his kingdom. They have foolishly concluded that because they live on earth, it's their home. It is not. The Bible is clear. Friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. And God wants us to not get too attached to what's around us because it is temporary. We are told those in frequent contact with the things of this world should make good use of them without becoming attached to them. For this world and all it contains will pass away. Compared with other centuries, life has never been easier for much of the Western world. We are constantly entertained, amused and catered to, with all the fascinating attractions that media can give to us and enjoyable experiences available today. It's easier to forget that the pursuit of happiness is not what life is about. Only as we remember that life is a test, a trust, and a temporary assignment, it will be the appeal of these things that loose their grip on our lives. And we are preparing for something even better. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. The fact that earth is not our ultimate goal explains why, as followers of Jesus, we experience difficulty, sorrow, and rejection in this world. It also explains why some of God's promises seem unfulfilled, and some prayers seem unanswered, and some circumstances seem unfair. This is not the end of the story. In order to keep us from becoming too attached to earth, God allows us to feel a significant amount of discontent, dissatisfaction in life, longings that will never be fulfilled on this side of eternity. We are not completely happy here because we are not supposed to be. And earth is not our final home. We were created for something much better. A fish would never be happy living on land because it was made for water. An eagle could never feel satisfied if it wasn't allowed to fly. And you will never feel completely satisfied on earth because you were made for more. And you will have happy moments here, but nothing compare with what God has planned for you. Realizing that life on earth is just a temporary assignment should radically alter your values, eternal values, not temporal ones, should become a deciding factor for your decisions. And as C.S. Lewis observed, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. And the Bible says we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It is a fatal mistake to assume that God's goal for your life is material prosperity or popular success. That is, as the world defines it. The abundant life has nothing to do with material abundance, and faithfulness to God does not guarantee success in a career or even in ministry. Never focus on temporary crowns. Paul was faithful, yet he ended up in prison. John the Baptist was faithful, but he was beheaded. Millions of faithful people have been martyred, have lost everything, or have come to the end of life with nothing to show for it. But the end of life is not the end. In God's eyes, the greatest heroes of faith are not those who achieve prosperity, success, and power in this life, but those who treat this life as a temporary assignment and serve faithfully, expecting their promised reward in eternity. And the Bible says this about God's Hall of Fame. All these great people died in faith. They did not get the things that God promised his people, but they saw them coming far in the future and were glad. They said they were like visitors and strangers on earth. They were waiting for a better country, a heavenly country. So God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. Your time on earth is not the complete story of your life. You must wait until heaven comes for the rest of the chapters. It takes faith to live on earth as a foreigner. An old story is often repeated of a retiring missionary coming home to America and on the same boat as the President of the United States. Cheering crowds, a military band, a red carpet, banners and the media welcomed the President home. But the missionary slipped off the ship unnoticed. And feeling self-pity and resentment, he began complaining to God. Then God gently reminded him, "But my child, you are not home yet. You will not be in heaven 2 seconds before you cry out. Why did I place so much importance on things that were so temporary? What was I thinking? Why did I waste so much time, energy, and concern on what wasn't going to last?" And when life gets tough, when you're overwhelmed with doubt, or when you wonder if living for Christ is worth the effort, remember that you are not home yet. At death, you won't leave home, you'll go home. Let's remember, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 4:18. And the question to consider is, how should the fact that life on earth is just a temporary assignment change the way I am living now? Everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. So therefore, there is a reason for everything, and it is all for him. You see, the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. That's in Proverbs 16, verse 4. And the ultimate goal of the universe is to show the glory of God. It is a reason for everything that exists, including you. God made it all for his glory, and without God's glory, there would be nothing. What is then the glory of God? It is who God is. It is the essence of his nature, the weight of his importance, and the radiance of his splendor. And God's glory is the expression of his goodness and all the other eternal qualities. So, where is the glory of God? Well, all you have to do is look around you. Everything created by God reflects his glory in some way. We see it everywhere, from the smallest microscopic form of life to the vast Milky Way, from sunsets and stars to storms and seasons. Creation reveals our Creator's glory. In nature, we learn that God is powerful, that he enjoys variety, loves beauty, is organized, and is wise and creative. And the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. So throughout history, God has revealed his glory to people in different settings. He revealed it first in the Garden of Eden, then to Moses, then in the tabernacle and the temple, then through Jesus, and how much, and now through the church. It was portrayed as a consuming fire, a cloud, thunder, smoke, and a brilliant light. In heaven, God's glory provides all the light needed. And the Bible says the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. You see, God's Son, too, is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus came to earth so that he could fully understand God's glory, and the Word became human and lived amongst us. We saw his glory, a glory full of grace and truth. One of the questions, then, that we should ask is, how can I bring glory to God? And Jesus told the Father, I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do. And Jesus honored God by fulfilling his purpose on earth. And we honor God the same way. When anything in creation fulfills its purpose, it brings glory to God. And birds bring glory to God by flying, chirping, and nesting, and doing other bird-like activities that God intended. Even the lowly ant brings glory to God when it fulfills the purpose it was created for. Yes, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And there are many ways to bring glory to God. But they can be summarized in God's five purposes for your life. Well, we bring God glory by worshiping him. This is one thing. Worship is our first responsibility to God. We worship God by enjoying him. C.S. Lewis said, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. And God wants our worship to be motivated by love, thanksgiving, and delight, not duty. And John Piper notes, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Worship is far more than praising, singing and praying to God. Worship is a lifestyle of enjoying God, loving him and giving ourselves to be used for his purposes. And when you use your life for God's glory, everything you do can become an act of worship. And the Bible says, use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. It makes one think, doesn't it? And it makes me think too, you know, can I be bringing glory to God by the way I'm living at present? And or can I bring more glory to God if I change my ways? And we bring God's glory by loving other believers. When you were born again, you became a part of God's family. Following Christ is not just a matter of believing, it also includes belonging and learning to love the family of God. And John wrote, our love for each other proves that we have gone from death to life. And Paul said, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Then God will be glorified. It is your responsibility to learn how to love as God does, because God is love and it honors him. And Jesus said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Today, we need to be able to think and ask ourselves, if we are Christians, do I have love for another brother or sister in the Lord? And if you don't, read again God's word and about love, and you will find that this is one of the things that brings glory and honor to God. This is Murray Yates signing off for this week.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. Sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, I saw the light, I saw. Sorrow.